welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to our video, looking forward to our time, talking a little bit more today about casting your cares upon the Lord. I know we've kind of spent a little bit of time on humbling, the word repentance, casting your care upon the Lord. In fact, we'll read from Peter where it puts it all in context. But we want to continue just a little bit more, maybe a couple more videos on this. This is so, so important that we learn to get rid of our cares, our concerns, our anxieties, and our worry. Now, if you think about it, the world is full of anxiety, care, concern, fear, worry, and the devil just feeds on this. Negative energy would just love for you to stay full of fear and anxiety, be constantly moved by concern, and God just wants you free. God wants you to walk in his blessing. God wants you to know that you can trust him no matter what it is, that he has your back. So let's move forward to the reasons why we continue to do these videos. Number one, we want you to develop a tangible relationship with God, something that speaks for itself, where you are able to hear his voice and recognize his presence. And then, of course, go as far as you want, have God as often as you'd like to have him, meaning experience him, enjoy him, and then have the kind of relationship that you actually desire in your heart to have. You know, no one can push you to have something you don't want. We're endeavoring to present a package to you and show you that it's easy. I'll say it this way. It's simple. It's just not easy. That seems complicated, and I'm glad I clarified that. It's very simple to have a relationship with God because he's everywhere. And as you unhook from the things of life, God is right there with you, speaking to you where you can enjoy him and you can work with him and he'll work with you. The not easy part is how much we are altered in the way that we see things. Our perception is skewed so that we're actually buying into the world, giving into, or I could say, giving away our power to the choices of the flesh and the world. That's something Paul actually in the book of Galatians, he touched on it everywhere, but in the book of Galatians, he even got really pointed with the people of Galatia and said, who has bewitched you that you would start in the miraculous power and anointing and relationship and the results of faith and then run right back over to works? Now, it wasn't preaching a faith message as much as he was saying, by faith, you received what Jesus did for you and you walked in the power of God. You began to receive tangible presence. You had miracles working in your life. And now you've gone back to you being at the center and the focus of your life and no longer Jesus. I'll share a testimony of something that I said to someone and their dear heart. I know that they are precious people. So when I say this, even though I corrected them, this has nothing to do with they weren't seeing things totally correct or they didn't receive, because they did. I just had to correct them a little. All right. We were in a meeting this weekend, and this is a great grace story. I ministered to this lady. She had vibrations going through her head, down into her back and into her torso. I think it even went through the rest of her body. And it was something in the nerves that there was a constant vibration. And so we ministered to her, and just like that, snap your finger, that vibration disappeared. And I said, well, how's that now? She said, well, it's not there now. And I said, well, it's not there now. Well, you're not expecting it to come back later, are you? She said, well, I said, listen, if it's not there now, tomorrow when it gets here, it will be now. And since you live in the present is now. So why not just accept that it'll never come back, that right now is the rest of your life, it's gone. And she said to me, well, you know, I'm confessing. I've been confessing. And I said, well, that's fine. That's good. So at any rate, after the service, I saw her. And then she name dropped a couple of people that she's been, you know, looking at and watching, individuals that preach some wonderful messages. And then again, she reminded me that she was confessing and she stayed with her confession. And I said, well, why are you confessing still? I said, do you confess about your knee? And she said, well, if my knee was inflamed, I'd confess about it. I said, is it inflamed right now? She said, no. I said, are you confessing about your knee right now? She said, no. I said, did the vibration leave? She said, yes. I said, why are you confessing about it? I said, if you confess about it once it's gone, then you're going to bring it back. If you really want it to be gone, then just let it be gone and go on with your life and enjoy Jesus instead of taking the time to confess. Now, certainly I wasn't telling her that confession isn't important and it's not a part of our life that holds us in a wonderful place of what we believe and what we know to be true. Confessing that which we believe about ourselves. In other words, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. You know, when David was in that place over in Samuel, 1 Samuel 30, where Amalekites came and they at Ziklag and took away all of his family and all his possessions and all of his livestock. And he and the mighty man came back after a war and they found everybody gone and they were about, to mutiny on David. And David, it said, he sat on an ash heap and he began to encourage himself in the Lord. Well, his encouragement in the Lord is his confession. He was reminding himself how faithful God is, how his only source of seeing a complete reversal in this situation is God alone. And as he began to encourage himself, he gained strength to call on the Lord and said, Lord, shall I pursue? The Lord said, not only pursue, but overtake and recover all. And he did. So confession is very important, but I didn't want her trying to confess something when something was already removed and she already had her healing. Well, when we're talking about the things of God, we want to get rid of these cares and these anxieties because that'll cause a person to actually use something that's very godly and wonderful like confession and turn it around into a fear trying to get something you don't believe you have. So we want you free from anxiety and care. We want you to experience a tangible relationship with God. We want you therefore to experience results to your prayer. And then we want you, thank God, to be able to share your testimonies with others. So let's jump right into this most wonderful invitation from Jesus himself to have a relationship with God the Father exactly as he has it himself. Matthew 27, 11 through 30 says, and Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Again, what a wonderful passage of scripture that just shows you that God's intention is that you would actually develop a relationship with God and a tangibility to that relationship where you would be walking with Jesus. Like Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, like Jesus walked with his Father when he was on the earth. He showed us that it's possible to hear what our Father is saying and therefore say it, to see what our Father is showing us and therefore do it. Jesus made reference, I did not come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. And this is one of the places of humility and repentance that we've been talking about. Casting your care upon the Lord where you get you out of the way and you let God come onto the scene. As long as you're on the way or in the way, excuse me, as long as you're in the way with your efforts to try to prove your worth, to try to get something to work, to try to make something happen, and you're not allowing the work that Jesus finished to actually work for you, you're in the way. And one of the great secrets of Christianity is, can you get yourself out of the way? What does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like if you can see a child playing with an adult. They just literally trust you. I mean, if they were to jump and you catch them and they just loved it and they wanted to do it again, you better make sure you keep your eye on them because they'll jump even when you're not looking, expecting that you're going to catch them. And so what are they doing when they jump? It is an abandonment to your faithfulness and ability to be there for them and to catch them. Well, as simple as that sounds, I know we have to translate that in life. And that's why we've got some wonderful scriptures that, again, begin to lead us into casting our cares upon the Lord. Look at this over in 1 Peter 5, 5 through 9. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, there is profit in humbling yourself or submitting yourself unto the Lord. Not putting your own ideas, your own effort in the way of God, but literally letting go and submitting to him. If you'll let go, you'll see God. And he says right here, he'll exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, it didn't say cast some of your care. You know, you may be good in some areas, but not good in other areas. Well, learn to be good in every single area where you're just out of the way. And you can, with a not a reckless abandonment, but an absolute letting go, you can trust God with everything in your life. And you know, the more you learn to let go of everything, the more peace you'll walk in, and the greater will be your experience. Okay, well, let's go on and just see some things. Some things that I wrote down here are really good, but before I get to them, let's look at verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you kept that in context, you would have to say that the devil certainly must prey upon those who are proud, who continue to hold on to their cares and their concerns, and will not let God be their savior. Amen. Look at what it says right here as we go on to 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7 in the Amplified. It says, likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders and ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe like an apron yourselves, all of you, with humility, as a garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and the boastful. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, blessing to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation, under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you, casting the whole of your care, notice this, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. What does once and for all seem to mean? It seems to mean that you don't do this over and over again. You actually let go of everything and live a carefree life. Isn't this the reason why Jesus brought us over in Matthew chapter 6 to that passage where he talks about look at the birds and look at the wildflowers? Wasn't he trying to tell you that even the things in nature can help to connect you to the principles that are so real that God will take care of you? You do not have to be fussing and worrying and concerned. I want to read that part again. I make sure that you get it. It's a tough part to read. But he goes on to say what? All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. It's very difficult to turn over what's important to you to someone who doesn't necessarily care about it. But God cares for us watchfully and affectually. You can be confident that God not only has already accomplished for you what's necessary to take care of your care, but you also can be sure that he loves you so much that he will watch over you affectionately and watchfully. Well, this is a great passage of scripture, folks, and I want to read something that I've written down. And I said this, and I wrote this years ago, but it said, negative energy is looking for those who are full of care and proud. Or you could say, those who think too highly of themselves, narcissistic, selfish people who are unaware of others, too full of themselves to admit that they are wrong. And those who are attached to this world and its folly. That's pretty interesting. So I am going to read for you, if you want to turn over to Matthew 6, 24 to 34 in the Message Bible, I am going to read for you this particular passage. And I just looked up and holy smokes, the time has really gone. But I will read this passage for you because I want to show you in this passage, Jesus is saying an awful lot. That's why sometimes we use this for other things as well. But one of the things you can grab from this is when you actually let God be God in your life, you can let go of your concerns in the flesh and of the world. And so it starts in verse 24. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to life than the food you put in your stomach, more than to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. Don't you like that? And really, think about it. If you were to just look at some birds for a while, you would see they literally do not have any care. And I like the way that it says careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. Verse 27. Has anyone by fussing in front of a mirror even got taller by so much of an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashions, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or nor shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, and do his best for you? Now, I like that in the message, it helps to show that Jesus is going to explain what he just meant. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Do you know that the present world has people in such strife, such concern, such anxiety, and people are so balled up and so tight? And usually what happens is we're learning constantly in the world to grab a hold of things ourselves and not let go. And look at what he said. What I'm trying to get you to do is to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. Notice, if you're doing the talking, you're not doing the listening. If you're doing the work of trying to get something, you're not doing the simple work of receiving something. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find your everyday human concerns will be met. And I like this last part, and I'll end with this. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you to deal with whatever hard things come up at the time that it comes. Well, you can go to our YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and submit for sure. And like our page over in the Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page. You can follow us. And definitely send in your emails with your grace stories. I know you have them. It's very hard to get people to take time for 30 seconds to write down a little story or for 2 or 3 minutes. We'll watch TV for hours, but you can't write in a little testimony about what God's doing. I'll tell you, if you'll write it in, God will even make it more real to you. Yes, I am pulling on you a little bit. It's because testimonies are so important, and I know that those of you who are listening have bunches of them. Our email is jhmi@jimhockaday.com. We'll see you next time. Again, this is another series in Casting Your Cares Upon the Lord. We'll probably have a couple more, so this is the first and the next 2 or 3. We'll see you next time. Bye.